Hey everyone. So I'm just about to approach episode 120, and well, there's probably been a few updates here and there on some of the cases I've covered. I released an update episode like years ago, right before I reached episode 60, I think. So I figured it's about damn time for another one. Bear in mind that there won't be a ton of updates because lots of these cases I covered are pretty much done and closed. Not all of these updates will give you any satisfaction, as in murderer caught, missing person found, but at least it will give you a better picture of how things are going. Before I do that, though, I would like to take this chance to talk about things more casually. If you're only here for the stories, please feel free to fast forward, as indicated on my show notes. So, I know my episodes have not been super regular, and I do apologize. I've mentioned that I do not do this full-time. I have a very high-stress job Mondays through Fridays. You know, podcasters, they're just regular people. Sometimes my brain feels so fried and I really don't want to stare at another computer after spending 8 hours on my work computer. But I get it. I started this podcast and it still is my duty to continue it. I'm definitely going to make a better effort to stick to my regular releases, which is every other week. Will try my best to not skip. With that said, I want to talk a little bit about CrimeCon, which I was very fortunate to attend this past May in Nashville, Tennessee. And as always, I had a really good time meeting listeners and other podcasters. I feel very lucky to have people I can say hello to, hang out with, and not feel self-conscious around. A couple funny encounters at my booth happened this year, and if you want to know, go listen to the podcast, Mystery Inc., episode 63. That's hosted by my friends Shane, Josh, and Kim. And they were right next to me at CrimeCon, so they know what happened. I kind of don't feel very comfortable talking about it, but they tell my story better anyway. So a little bit more about CrimeCon. The first one was in the year 2017, and I went all by myself all the way from Taiwan because I wanted to do something I would normally not do. It was really scary, meeting people for the first time, hoping they would like me, all that kind of stuff. But everyone was really kind, and I didn't have any negative experiences all my years at CrimeCon. Maybe a few weird interactions, but nothing bad. Over the years, CrimeCon has only gotten bigger and bigger, and I believe there were around 6,000 people in the 2024 CrimeCon. All I'm saying is, it's a great time. There's always something to do, something to learn, and people are very nice. I admit the tickets can be a little bit pricey, but for me, it's always been a priority, so I'm willing to sacrifice a few other things for that. Just saying, if you really do enjoy learning about true crime, this is a really good place to go. So, another thing I want to talk about before I move on to updates. I want to talk about the future of this show. I confess, there are times where I just want to go like, ah, fuck this, end this podcast once and for all. I feel defeated at times. I feel very overwhelmed. But in the end, my type A personality does not allow it. I really don't know how long I will continue this, but hopefully for as long as I can. As I've now moved to the US, I'm considering starting a special segment in my podcast, independent from my regular episodes. I would be covering missing persons, Jane and John Doe's, and unsolved murders within the United States, but specifically about Asian people, obviously. It's not that I don't care about other races. I just think there's room for more Asian awareness, you know? And since I'm here, why not? It wouldn't affect my regular episodes, so it's just a little something extra from time to time. If you live in the US, I would definitely appreciate you listening to it and spreading the word. Hopefully we can crack some mysteries together and provide some answers for those looking for them. While retelling cases is bringing awareness in a way, I would just like to do more. I know it sounds very ambitious, since I was literally just complaining about how little time I have. I guess by putting this out there, it's going to force me to follow through, because the last thing I want to do is lose face and bring dishonor onto my family. Okay, that's enough rambling for now. Time for some updates. Let's begin. First up, I covered the case of the coffee poisoning in Indonesia in episode 56. The case of Jessica Wongso. A Netflix documentary was released last year, titled Ice Cold. Some of you may have watched it, and having a visual of the case was probably way more informative than just listening to my retelling. Some have felt that the documentary gives a better picture of who Jessica was, as in there was more focus on her side rather than labeling her as a crazy lady who would not stop smiling. Some viewers allegedly feel like Jessica was not fairly portrayed in the media, which I can agree to an extent, because the media does tend to sensationalize things to make it more interesting in order to capture people's attention. Although Jessica's behavior was definitely not what we would consider as normal, as in she was looking too giddy for a person accused of murder, it does not mean she is in fact guilty. It's true that our actions and behavior can definitely affect how others perceive us, and if we act outside of the norm, we look suspicious. Jessica Wongso's trial was mostly based on circumstantial evidence, so in a sense, some could argue that there is doubt on whether she is indeed guilty or not. Jessica does not seem to be having a great time in prison, though, as she stated, quote, "It's been really difficult. It's just really hard to stay sane every day," unquote. I believe that. I don't know if I would be able to stay sane in prison either. Next, we talked about Seth Gonzalez murdering his entire family, including his mother, father, and sister on episode 62. Not long after I released that episode, in May of 2021, it was said that Seth tried applying for a royal pardon with the New South Wales Attorney General. His reasoning was that, "Hey, the 20-year anniversary of my family's death is coming up. I feel that by getting my pardon, I will be able to honor my family's death." Okay, but if he really did kill them, this would not really be honoring his family. He compared his own case with that of a woman named Lindy Chamberlain, better known as the Dingo Took My Baby lady. Long story short of that case, Lindy and her family went camping in the 1980s, and her very young baby was dragged out and taken away by dingoes, which is kind of like a wild dog. The public and the courts believe that she killed her baby and lied about dingoes taking her baby, and she was publicly shamed and even found guilty for it. That is, until they discovered actual evidence that dingoes did, in fact, take her baby. So what Seth is saying is that he didn't kill his family, and he is like Lindy, and that one day the truth will come out and he will be found innocent. I mean, if that happens, then so be it. But so far, he has not yet been pardoned. So we may see another update on this, maybe eventually. Moving on to episode 76, we discussed the death of a young woman named Christine Dacera, while she was celebrating the new year with her pals. If you recall, her death was pretty suspicious, as they had found lacerations and sperm on her. Understandably, many people, including her family members, believe she was assaulted by her so-called friends. Well, now these friends are thinking of filing charges against her family for malicious prosecution, incriminating innocent persons, and for trying to make it look like she was raped and murdered. I understand it's hard not to look at it this way, and if they are innocent, this can absolutely destroy their lives and future. But on the other hand, I also sympathize with the family, because with the way the case was handled, how else are they supposed to get answers? Who else can they blame? Investigators on the case claim that they are still working to find the truth in a, quote, normal fashion, and the Philippine National Police are still backing the local police, stating that they are doing everything by the book. Next, on episode 82, I talked about the case of an entire family, the Sun family, killed in their own home in Houston, Texas. Sun Maoye, his wife Xie Mei, and their two sons, Titus and Timothy, all shot to death in their own home. So this is unfortunate timing on my part, but it turns out that the real killer was actually apprehended only months after my episode was released. So I do apologize for taking you guys on a wild goose chase. And who was this bad guy? A man named Feng Lu, I believe, was arrested in San Francisco in September of 2022, right as he was returning from a trip from China. Feng and Sun were co-workers at Cameron International, and the two were generally on good terms, until they weren't. One day, Feng went to Sun to ask him to write a recommendation for him as he was seeking a promotion, but for whatever reason, Sun was like, no. After that, Feng began to get this feeling that his co-workers were whispering about him behind his back, and he was somewhat convinced that Sun must have said something bad about him. I mean, yeah, that's pretty frustrating, but definitely not a good reason to not just kill Sun, but his entire family, including his two little kids. Like, talk about terrible emotional regulation. A mixed DNA profile was found in the Sun home that was tested, and it was believed to belong partly to Feng. So that's hard to argue against. Feng also allegedly claimed that he didn't know Sun's wife and kids, nor did he know where they all lived. But if his DNA was found in the house, well, unless someone really wanted to frame him, then I guess he could be telling the truth. But wait, there's more. On January 23rd, 2014, only 2 days before the family was killed, records indicated that Feng purchased a gun, and according to the police, the, quote, bullets found at the scene had design features that were physically similar to the ammunition allegedly purchased by Feng, unquote. Feng's bond was set at $5 million, but I have not been able to find any record of anything after. So this is one case that definitely had a major breakthrough, which is very comforting to know. Bad guys can get caught, especially with the advancement of technology and science. Feng could have left his life in the US behind and returned to China for good, escaped it all, but because he decided to come back, he got caught. Maybe he was cocky, maybe he thought he was in the clear. Either way, good thing he returned. So that's about it for the update episode, and my ramble episode, I guess. I will definitely be putting out more update episodes in the future, so please stay tuned for those. Thank you for tuning into this tiny little update, and remember, stay safe until next time.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.